I was thinking about these chairs. We'll get them over there. And I was talking about, there's more of the gray ones, isn't it? Yeah. That's why I said put the gray in first and then these behind them. On the front row, there are a few stained ones. The one on the end over there is kind of sort of broke. Me and Jim took it out in the parking lot and beat it up a little bit to get it back in shape and make it usable. And he sat in it and said it was okay. And then I forgot about it until I sat in it a few minutes ago. But you know why it's there? I was so confident nobody would use it right there, you know. That's a shame. But anyway, I was confident it would be safe over there. Amen. But anyway, just be aware there is one over there. That, and all three, the three on that end, there's a couple of stained ones, and then that one's sort of, a little bit shady on that one. But anyway, all right, let's go to Acts 28 in our Bibles, please. If anybody wants those three, by the way, you're welcome to. I'm kidding. All right, I'll get all that off my mind for now, and let's preach, amen? And then we'll get our minds back on the chairs here in a little while. Acts chapter 28, this is the end of the book of Acts. This is sermon number 50, if I counted right. And I'm going to end the book by just giving it this title, The Continuing Story of the Church. The Continuing Story of the Church. We're in it tonight, The Continuing Story of the Church. It ended kind of abruptly, and, you know, you look at all the commentaries, and everybody's got an opinion about why Luke ended the way he did, why he didn't continue writing, depending on his age and how much more time he lived. Paul probably lived 3 or 4 more years, at least, and all of that. But nevertheless, this is the way the Holy Spirit said time stop. But you could just, church history has been going on ever since, right? And so it is the continuing story of the church. I want us to look here. We'll read a rather long passage, but let's pick up verse 16. I preached verses 15 and 16 on the fellowship, just good fellowship with Christians. I enjoyed that message. Verses 14 and 15, I mean. But look at verse 16. Let's read some verses here. And when we came to Rome, so it was a long journey, but they got there. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered or allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. He was given some leeway. He was just sort of under a house arrest situation. They knew he was innocent anyway. So all the prisoners got delivered. He got some special treatment. By God's providence, okay? And he was able to continue ministering even though he was always with a soldier. All right, verse 17, it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, remember this is the Jews, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee, what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, speaking of Christianity, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Isn't that typical? But he showed them that Jesus was their Messiah. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He gave them a prophecy from Isaiah, those that rejected it, and said, look, I'm telling Israel one last time, Isaiah said you were going to harden your heart, and or God was going to harden your heart because you hardened your heart already. So he gave them one last warning from Isaiah. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. From prison for 2 years, he had freedom to continue his ministry. People came to him. He couldn't go to them under house arrest. He couldn't even go to the synagogue. That's why he called the Jews to himself. But for the next 2 years, he continued to write epistles. He continued to preach and teach from right there. I wonder how many Roman soldiers were chained to him and how many of them got saved because they heard this over and over and over again, right? They kept hearing the gospel. But he continued the ministry because God allowed it. Let's pray. Father God, direct us through this tonight, Lord, and just show us some things, God, that will help us grow in our faith. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is the continuing story of the church. It's an abrupt ending to Luke's account, perhaps. And many wonder, why would you stop here? There's a lot of questions that people have concerning, one, and I'll say more about this in a little bit, but he went there to because he appealed unto Caesar. Did he ever stand before Caesar? Which, by the way, was Nero, a young Nero who became a tyrant against the church eventually. Even as a young Nero, he had blood on his hands at that point. But did he ever stand before him? I'll get into that here in a little bit, a little more than that. But we're not told what happened with that. How did he pay his rent? We would assume maybe the church at Rome was helping with that. We don't know. We don't know how. But you know, I don't want to spend time on things that God didn't tell us, right? But it just sort of ends, and you have some questions kind of wondering about that. But here's the thing. The story is about Jesus and his church and the ongoing church until the rapture. Now, the Apostle Paul kind of dominates the last half of the book of Acts. But we got to be reminded, folks, it's not about Paul, it's about Jesus. And it's about his church, right? Paul was a minister, Paul was a missionary, Paul was greatly used of God, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament, but it's still about Jesus Christ, not Paul. So he's the last main character, but that cannot be the focus that we have. The very first verse of this book, Luke said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, referring to the Gospel of Luke that he wrote to the same man that we don't know, but his name is O Theophilus. And he said, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So this is all about Jesus and after he ascended and his ongoing ministry and work through his church. Still the same thing now, right? So, yeah, we love Paul, but it's not about Paul. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to always be reminded about that for sure. I'm glad Jesus is still alive and still working in the church today. Amen. Paul might be gone, but the Lord still, he's up there with the Lord. But now God is working through you and your circle. You brighten your own corner of the world with the gospel. Amen. You let your light so shine. You witness to who you can witness to. And God uses this church and many other local churches across the world. It is the continuing story of the church. So we thank God for that. So let's notice just a few points here tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, I want to say this. Minister while we can. Minister while we can. Now, what I mean by that is in verse 16, we see that Paul was allowed to dwell with a soldier, right? And then we see in the last two verses, 30 and 31, that for 2 years from his own hired house, he continued to preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ministered continually while he could. Today, it's our turn. He did his turn. This is our turn. Amen? Minister while we can. And I think it's very interesting that we now have our turn as this story is continuing to go on. Now, here's what I want to say. We understand that there was a second Roman imprisonment after these 2 years. We understand, gathering from the writings of Paul, the epistles of Paul, because he wrote 4 more books in prison, and we understand that he was released after 2 years for a little while. There was an interval there, and then he was re-imprisoned in Rome, and that time, it wasn't so good. That time, he wasn't under house arrest. That time, he shackled in a dungeon, and he writes 2 Timothy, his last book, to Timothy saying, "My departure is at hand." It didn't go so good that time. And again, we don't have time for that, but we gather a lot of what he said throughout those epistles and just circumstances that he went through that he probably got released after those 2 years for a little while. Now listen to this. During these 2 years, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, that great story of Philemon. Philemon and Onesimus and how he got hooked up with him. It's a great story in the Bible. Those are called the prison epistles because they were written during this first imprisonment. It's likely that 2 Timothy was written at the end of his life while he was in the second imprisonment. In between those two, so first imprisonment, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Second imprisonment, 2 Timothy. In between there, 1 Timothy and Titus. And he says a lot in there that he probably did in that interval, okay? But whenever he went back for the second time, it was not as good as it was right here under this house arrest situation. Why did God allow it right here? There was more preaching to be done, and there was more epistles to be written. You know, we just trust God when we go through bad circumstances, amen, and that's what he did. Why God allowed him to have the freedom he had at this point and then not at the end, we can only speculate about those things, but we've got things in our own life that puzzle us, but we trust God with them, right? But that was the story for the next several years of how it went in his life. But we know that the gospel went forth from that prison cell for 2 years, and then he went out some more and strengthened more churches. But here's what I'm trying to say. Let's all stay at it all we can while we can. That's what he did. No matter how bad the circumstances were, even in the second imprisonment, as bad as it was, he wrote to 2 Timothy and said, "My departure is at hand." And he said, "Please come, bring a coat," because he said, "Bring the cloak." Remember that? He said, "Bring that to me," because we're told that it probably was in the wintertime. He was not in a hired house or a rented house. He was not in a good situation. He even said, "Bring John Mark, if you will. He can minister to me." He said, "Many have forsaken me. Only Luke is with me still." So we know Luke was loyal, right? "Demas hath forsaken me. I sent Titus here, and I sent Trophimus there, and Eutychus," and all these things he talks about that he did. But at the end, he was lonely. He was by himself. He said, "Timothy, I hope you can come see me. I hope you can bring John Mark. I hope you can bring some books. I hope you can bring my coat. I hope you can bring the parchment, some scriptures to me." Amen. Why? Because it wasn't so good that time, the way we understand it. If you got a Scofield Bible, the note at the bottom of that page is about what I just talked about right there, if you've got that. But the Lord allowed him to do what he could. Folks, the world's going to discourage us from continuing on. The world doesn't want us to keep doing what we're doing. The world doesn't want to see the church have progress. The world doesn't want to see your church do well and do good. The devil doesn't. But while we can, while we have opportunity, even though we might have the devil against us like Paul did, we might have religion against us like Paul did, we might have all kind of obstacles and persecution come our way, while we can, let's do all we can like Paul did. He gave us that example, amen? For us to keep going and do what we can, right now we can meet, amen? We can evangelize. Thank God that we can, and let's take advantage of it while we have that opportunity, right? Let's do all that we can, and may the Lord bless us with that. All right, let me give you number 2. Number 2 is this, follow the Bible pattern. Number 2, follow the Bible pattern. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is The Bible said to the Jew first, several times. What did he do when he got to Rome? What did he do in almost every city? He went to the synagogue. Why? To the Jew first. The gospel was to the Jew first. He gets to Rome, he's under arrest. What does he do? I can't go to the synagogue. Hey, have the Jews come see me. I want to talk to them. He kept with that Bible pattern to the Jew first. Why? That's the way God wanted it. That's the way God gave it. They were God's chosen people. They needed to hear about their Messiah, right? So he stuck with the Bible pattern. Folks, we'd do well to stick with the Bible patterns. Don't you believe that? Amen? We'd do well to do it the way that God wants us to do it. So he invited them. Now, these were the Jews in Rome. Now, he had already written the book of Romans to the church in Rome about 3 years prior to this. So here he's practicing what he preached, what he told them. Because in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You remember that? "For it is the power of God and salvation unto everyone that believeth." And what did he say? "To the Jew first and also to the Greek." So he wrote to the Romans saying, to the Jew first, but also to you guys. To the Jew first, but also to the Greeks, also to the Gentiles. So here, when he gets to Rome, he said, "Oh yeah, I told them to the Jew first. I better keep that." No, that was just his pattern. That was God's pattern. He kept with the Bible pattern. So he said, "Jews, if you'll come, I'd like to talk to you, and I'd like to explain to you what's going on here." So folks, we need to stick with what we find in the book of Acts. We need to stick with what we find in the epistles. We just need to stay with the Bible pattern. Don't you agree with that today? Amen? Well, the Bible's archaic. The Bible's old. The Bible's irrelevant, so the world says. So many religions say, and churches say even. Folks, we do well to stick with the... Hey, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my word shall is forever. Amen? So we stick with the Bible pattern. We keep doing it the Bible way, no matter what year it gets to be. God knows that His church is still going, and God knows the culture has changed. God knows this world has changed. But folks, the Bible pattern tells us to pray. It tells us to rely on the Holy Spirit. It tells us to evangelize. It tells us to pray some more. That's exactly what we're here to do. It tells us to expect good things from God, and it tells us to do everything we do for the glory of God, right? Isn't that the Bible pattern that we're still trying to do? Preach the Word. Why are y'all still having church on Sunday night and Wednesday night? The Bible says preach the Word. Why y'all still have Sunday school at Liberty Baptist? The Lord said teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded unto you. It's the Bible pattern. Now, if you want to get real biblical about it, we got to get together every day. That's about how they did it back then, you know, and broke bread and fellowshipped and all of that. And they didn't have a house. They had houses that they met in. They didn't have a church, a beautiful facility like we have until much later on. But nevertheless, they were doing the things that God told them to do. Now, here's the interesting thing. These Jews were not as hostile. Those Jews in Jerusalem tried to kill him several times. That's why he appealed unto Caesar. Because the last one was Festus, right? Felix and then Festus. And Festus said, "Hey, I'll take you back to Jerusalem and try you there if you want to." And he's like, "Oh, no, that's not a good idea. I don't get fair trials in Jerusalem. I appeal unto Caesar." It was in the will of God so that he could get to Rome. God told him he'd go to Rome. So it all happened that way. But those Jews wanted to kill him in Judea. Those Jews in Jerusalem wanted to do away with this New Testament preacher that was preaching a Messiah named Jesus. They hated that. They were enraged by that, as we said this morning. But then he gets here and to Rome, and he calls the Roman counterparts of the Jews. He calls them there to his hired house and says, "I want to explain some things to you. I want to tell you why I'm here. Please understand, I'm not against you. I'm one of you. I love God the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like you do. I believe in the same God that you do. But I also believe that the Messiah has already come, Jesus Christ." That's where you and I differ. But I want you to understand, all those things they've been telling you, those charges aren't true. He said they would have let me go. Remember, we read that. He said they would have released me and let me go because I hadn't done anything. I want you to know I'm not against you. And he told them as if he figured they had heard everything and they knew all the charges against him. And then they said, "Okay, well, interesting. We hadn't even heard about you. Jerusalem hadn't sent us any letters. Any of the people that have got on those ships and come over here, nobody said a word about you." Interesting. He might have. I wonder if he backed up and said, "Oh, I shouldn't have said nothing." I'm kidding there, but and then they said, you know, we're interested. We have heard about this sect, this thing, the new way, the way, the Christianity. We've heard about it. And we would like to know what you think about it. Hey, those Jews over in Jerusalem didn't say, hey, Paul, we'd like to hear you again. No, they said, like, they said, we want to kill you. These guys, they said, you know, we'd like to get together and hear more of what you've got to say about this new thing, this new religion. They were not as hostile. Now, we ask ourselves, why did the Jews in Jerusalem not send word? Well, first of all, they might have just been so glad he was out of their region, they didn't care anymore. I don't know. They might have thought, you know, hey, we heard about that shipwreck. He probably didn't even make it to Rome. No need in telling anybody about it. We'll just forget that guy. We got rid of Jesus. Now we got rid of Paul. Of course, they didn't know Jesus was sending Paul to Rome so that he could get the gospel around the world. Amen? They didn't think they had to be worried about him anymore, but yeah, they couldn't forget that guy. But nevertheless, they didn't tell him, and then they got together here to listen to him. And what did he do? When they came back, he took the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets, and he said, Jesus Christ is your Messiah. You and I serve the same God. I'm one of you. I love my heritage. As a Jew, I was a Pharisee at once. But I know that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And I want you to receive him too. He preached to them. He told them Jesus. Folks, preaching Jesus is still the Bible pattern. Amen, right? Even to hostile crowds. He didn't stir this crowd up, but the Bible says it created a lot of division. They went away having a lot of discussions, you can imagine. But then the Bible say, as typical, some believed and some did not. It stirred division. Jesus always does. You give the gospel, you witness, some receive, as we said this morning. Some resist, some go into a rage. Boy, that really happened with Paul and those Jews, right? So he preached unto them, folks, we're still doing the same thing today. And then, of course, that when those that said, we don't believe it, he gave them that final warning from Isaiah. God's hardened your heart because you just chose not to believe it. You can't hear it because you don't want to hear it. Isn't that true about a lot of people you witness to today? Yeah, I know, I'll get to that, you know, whatever, that's good. They don't hear it because they don't want to hear it. Well, I don't understand the Bible. They don't want to understand the Bible. Isn't that oftentimes the case? People, well, come to church. I don't want to go to church. They don't go to church because they don't want to go to church, right? They don't get saved because they don't want to. They don't want to believe in the Lord. And he said, Isaiah, he said, you guys know, Isaiah told our forefathers, you keep hardening your heart, you're playing a dangerous game, and God's going to harden your heart one day because you've already chose to harden. That's the same thing with old Pharaoh, right? God hardened his heart. He hardened his own heart. God just went along. And that's why he gave them a strong warning. The Bible pattern. Folks, aren't we still warning this world about judgment to come? I mean, that's the pattern of the Bible, folks. So until Jesus comes, the story of the church is continuing. What is it? We keep preaching Jesus. We keep telling about coming judgment. We keep warning people not to harden your heart against God. We're still following the Bible pattern. Amen? Isn't that right? And that's what we need to keep doing. And that's certainly what Paul was doing as well. Let me give you one more tonight. This number three is just simply this. Be glad for the grace of God. Be glad for the grace of God. And the reason I say that is because whenever he got to verse 28, after he got done dealing with those Jews, and by the way, he kept ministering to Jews and getting them saved, but as a whole, it moved on to the Gentiles. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. What does that mean? You and I are the Gentiles tonight, right? He said, I'm going to send it to the Gentiles, to the Jew first. Did that. He did. God kept his word, right? He said, but the Jews as a whole have rejected it. I'm going to the Gentiles and they will hear it. In contrast to the Jews who would not hear it as a whole in general. You know, the Gentiles have predominantly accepted and received the gospel. I mean, I was talking about England the other night, might have been today, I don't remember. I think it was Wednesday night, but was that this morning? Anyway, all those great preachers they had over there, now there's not even a trace of anything. Christian, hardly, right? But here's what I'm getting at. They got evangelized. It came to America. America's been evangelized. The Gentiles, for the most part, have heard it. And by the way, for the most part, in this New Testament dispensation that we call the church age, you know what it's also been? The age of the Gentiles. Who's been sending the missionaries around the world? It's not Israel. It's Gentile nations, right? What he said, talking about fulfilled prophecy, what he said right there, the ongoing story of the church, you look back on church history, and what he said right there in verse 28 has been the case ever since. Ever since Acts 28 and verse 28 right there, Acts 28, 28 until the rapture, it's the age of the Gentiles, what we call the church age. The missionaries have been coming out of America and Europe and all the Gentiles. Israel had their chance, and as a whole, he went into his own, and his own received him not. Well, what I say on point number three, be glad for the grace of God that it came our way. Amen? And now the church age has been our age. It has been the age. You know, God works in dispensations, by the way. If you look in your Bible, you'll see those time periods that God works in. And ever since this point, it's been, that's the early church, that's the transitional from the Gospels, from the prophets to the silent 400 silent years, to the time of Jesus Christ, to the time of the apostles, to the time of the early church, and now from here on, it's been the time of the Gentiles. Paul became a missionary to the Gentiles. So he was telling the truth right there after he gave that strong warning that the church would continue. So the salvation of God has come unto the Gentiles, and that's why I say, be glad for the grace of God. God could have said, the Jews are my people. I created that nation. I sent my son into the world through that nation, and that nation has not received him, and I'm done. No, no, no. He didn't say I'm done. He said, now salvation goes unto the Gentiles. We say, thank God for his grace. Amen? We got in on this thing called the church. Aren't you glad of that tonight? We're not Israel. We're not Israel. But we are the people of God. We're not Israel. The church is not Israel. But we are God's chosen people today. Right? We're in His family. Right? We've been grafted into this thing. We've been adopted into the family. Born spiritually into the family. God's not done with Israel. I know that. That's another dispensation, by the way. But right now, it's the age of the Gentiles. The church age is the age of the Gentiles. I don't understand all of that, but God has His way of doing things. Amen? Now, even today, it's the same thing. Some believe and some don't. But for the most part, it has been received by Gentile nations. Now, obviously, you've got, I mean, you know, you say, well, Soviet Union, Russia, and China, and closed nations and closed countries. Yeah, we know all that. We know that. But predominantly, this is not the time of Israel. That's the Old Testament. They rejected Jesus, their Messiah. It's the time of the Gentiles, okay? So we've been following Paul's example as a missionary ever since. We send out missionaries, don't we, to all parts of the world. We take that great commission that was given to those Jewish apostles. It's now our commission to evangelize the world, right? So the continuing story. God didn't say, oh, well, I tried. Didn't work out too good. Went into his own. His own received him not. Done. No, he didn't say that. Because of the Gentiles, that Gentile age and the church age, it's the continuing story of the church. Amen? We're still in this thing. Now, Warren Wiersbe, let me give you this and I'll close. He said Luke did not write his book simply to record ancient history. He wrote to encourage the church in every age to be faithful to the Lord and to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. You say, why did he end like that? Why did he end so we want to know this and we want to know that? Hey, the story is still being written up in heaven. And you and I, as Gentiles, got in on it. Church history is still going. You know what I find very interesting? This book covers, of the early church, it covers about 32 years. Think about that. 32 years. Now, I said it's our turn. Literally, it's our turn. You know that covers 32 years. Liberty Baptist Church in Snow Hill has had twice that amount of history. You've been around for 64 years. Think about that. That kind of blows my mind. Book of Acts, 32 years. We've been here 64. We've been doing this thing longer than they did. Why? That was the early church. This is the ongoing story. Hey, we've been at this thing for 64, twice of what they have. Now, what I say in number two, number one, minister while you can. Hey, we've had twice of what they had, and we still got time to keep going. I'm glad of that. Amen? And we're in on this thing. 64 years. Until Liberty Baptist Church, I assume it'll be here till Jesus comes and still be ministering till Jesus comes. Amen? 50 years from now, when it's time to change that roof, amen, Liberty Baptist Church will still be going, right? You say, we'll be in heaven. Sam will change it. Amen. He'll take care of it. Titus and Caleb and Jesse, they'll take care of it. Amen. The story continues. How many people, I tell you, how many people over that 64 years we've seen throughout our history that are in heaven now? Hey, I'm going back to point one. Let's minister while we can. Amen. We got a lot of folks up there. I've done a lot of funerals here. Amen. You know that. No, that's not a place to say amen. I've done a lot of funerals here, isn't that right? But I tell you, folks that are up there in heaven, right? But the story continues. The story of this church continues. And there's a lot of story to it. You're in probably your third major remodel. Who in the world thought of doing something like that? You're in probably your third major remodel. I couldn't talk those deacons out of doing another one. Amen. So we're in that now. You got pictures, by the way. I've looked at pictures a while back of what this place used to look like. You know what bothers me now? I got a ton of pictures of this remodel, and they're all right here. And I'm like, how do I get them out of here? And, you know, I wish I had a Polaroid. Amen? Right? Right then. Somebody should have loaned me a Polaroid 6 months ago, and we'd have all these pictures, right? I know. People tell me there's ways to get them off of here and get them, you know, all that. We'll figure that out one day, amen? But we'll figure that out right there. But I'm just saying the history is going continually, amen? It's still going. I say 3 major remodels because you turned this whole place around one time and then you built them bathrooms and tore a wall out back there one time, right? Y'all love to remodel, I tell you, y'all really do. Y'all do, y'all love that. And here you are going at it again. I mean, you can't. Hey, oh, yeah, and you build a building? Yes, sir, that's right. See? The history goes on, amen? But you know what else? It's not just the facilities. It's a different crowd in here, too. Yeah, this is a different church. I mean, some of you were here when I got here, but a lot of you weren't, right? Aren't you glad the story of the church just continues? The Lord is still doing His work through the local church down here. Amen. I like that last part. That wasn't even in my notes. That was getting good right there. Amen. But the story and the history continues. I'm glad to be in on that. Thank God for His grace that got us in on His work. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Father, Lord, we thank You so much for, God, what You have done in our midst, what You're doing, Lord, in our midst. And God, what You did there in the book of Acts, what You've done in Your churches throughout this church age, what You'll continue to do until the rapture of the church. Lord, I pray You'd help us, God, to keep, just continue, Lord, while we can, doing all we can. God, in our time of history, in our turn, Paul did his, we're doing ours now. And Lord, help us and use us. God, speak to our hearts right now, Lord. Whatever the heart's needs are in this congregation right now, I pray, Lord, You'd speak to us and help us to obey Your voice. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight. Our heads are bowed. A little music plays. You might want to come get on this altar and just pray about whatever God touches your heart about. Thank you. Amen.